Welcome to the downstairs. I'm beginning it because I am full of energy today. I'm full of excitement. I got a lot of
vim and vigor.
Got a lot of vim and vigor. Got a lot of confidence, and I got a lot of hope. This day.
You get your hair cut yet?
I did get my hair cut. Boom.
Look at that. I can tell.
Look, bam. Crispy as a goddamn piece of bacon. Now listen. How are you guys doing today, man? It's been a while. I seen you guys recently, but you know, you were here a little bit earlier, and I didn't ask how you were doing. How you doing?
I'm fucking good. I'm looking forward. Looking forward to an event. Right. I don't know if you know.
I could not sleep last night. I've been telling every single person I see, every person I fucking told my hairstylist, like, what you doing on the 28th? She starts like getting ready to hit the button. You know, I'm like, no, not me. I'm not inviting you on a date. I'm just saying you should bring somebody else because it's not me to the Black Hilarity Show. That's on the 28th
at 7. That's fire. I appreciate you for doing that.
I was telling like I told some random ass people.
Yeah.
The guys at the gym who were trying to like
we gym membership.
It's like they're like personal trainers like signing us up for a gym membership. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, you know, I guess we'll do the annual. Also, by the way, what are you doing on the 28th?
For real, I've been putting the word out like a motherfucker too. I even went and put the word out last night, Friday. Like I told every single person that was in the bar I was at, and I went to other bars, told them people. It's been a wild fucking week for me. Right. Also, I also went on two dates yesterday. Two of them. Isn't that funny? And I saw the stark difference from when you go out with somebody and it's really good. It goes really well. And also when you go out with somebody and it's trash.
Wait, which one was first?
I was just about to ask which
one was first. The good one was first.
Ooh.
The good one was first.
That's extra bad. So the whole time you're like, well, she did.
It wasn't even like, it was like, oh, I see how this happens now. I see how it happened. Like, so the first date was dope. We went to get coffee. It was a coffee date. We talked. I find that I do better with smart girls. I have better conversations with them, and I have more. They're more engaged in the conversation, and it was fire. It was cool. We talked for a while. She just bought a new house, which is another reason why I think I do well with smart girls because they got their shit together. And she invited me to her house. It wasn't like that, but I went over there. We hung out some more. And it was a good time. I'm definitely going to see her again. And so after that, I went and did a couple things. And then I was going out to promote the show. And I invited someone to come with me, basically. So this person came with me. And it wasn't bad, but we weren't connecting like I just did on this date earlier, and I could tell like this, it's not happening the same way, you know.
Did she have a house?
She didn't have a house.
Well, there's your reasoning.
She didn't have a car. I mean, you know, whatever the reasons may be, I'm not shitting on people who don't have cars, because you know, shit happens to people. But the point is, There was a lot less of a connection there. Like you can tell like she wasn't, I'm not an awkward person, so it wasn't awkward, but you could just tell the personalities weren't going well. I was making her laugh. It turned very quickly into kind of how I treat people normally, you know, just that very surface level, shallow relationship type of thing. That's what it kind of evolved into eventually. And it was cool to see that happen in the same day, you know what I mean? It was cool to see,
have clear comparisons,
have a very clear comparison of like how it could work and how it couldn't work, you know. So it was bizarre.
Do you think it had anything to do with the fact that you basically brought her to work?
Not really, because I didn't immediately start working when we got out. Like, we did have an initial, because when I do this, when I go out and talk to people, I like to have a drink in me, and then I'm starting on the second one. Like, that's how I get loosened up, and I can, you know, talk to anybody without being awkward, you know. And so I sat down with her while I was having this drink. She didn't get a drink, which was like, it was fine. I don't care that you didn't get a drink or whatever, but that also, like, you knew we were going to a bar. Like, it kind of like, and the reason why she didn't get a drink wasn't because she doesn't drink. It was just like, I don't know, you know. So she felt awkward. So I didn't want to, like it was already kind of weird. And then, like, we started talking, and I'm like searching for things to talk about in this situation. And once I got her started, she would talk, but I just wasn't. She was talking about, like, it was certain stuff about her beliefs and all this stuff that I didn't agree with, yeah. Stuff like that. And I just wasn't connecting with her on that level. And no, it was cool. It was cool to see. It was cool to see, like, oh, this person earlier was just, we were just into each other. Eye contact, fucking, you know what I'm saying? Like, knees touching and shit, you know? Then we got to the level, you know what I'm saying? She put her leg on my leg type of shit. It was like, oh, this is dope. We're connecting here. And then the other girl is just kind of like, So, where you from? You all here? You've been here all your life? Okay, well. So, yeah, it was weird. It was bizarre. But I did meet this guy. I met him weeks ago, but he was at the bar again. Because I eventually took her home and then went back to the bar. That's how bad the date was. She didn't stay out with me the whole time. I said, it is cold. You're not drinking. You want to go home? That'd be cool, right? I took her home and I came back out, and the guy was at a bar that I usually go to, and he is a local rapper, and he hosts this basketball tournament. His name is Lance Amelian. So I met Lance Amelian, and he told me that he would give me an opportunity to promote the show today at his basketball tournament, which happens from 12 to 5. So it's like right before people usually go to something, and they maybe want to go to something else later. So it's probably a good opportunity. So I'm going to print up some fucking flyers, like just some little ones, and take them up there, you know, make the announcement, get some more people to come to the show. So that's a dope opportunity.
Fucking, yeah, that's pretty sick.
Yeah, man. So it's been an eventful week for me. Been an eventful week. What do you guys think? What do you guys have you ever been on a two woman a day date?
Yes, but I'll do you one worse than that.
Oh no!
When you leave the second date and call the first girl back because you're like, listen, our date went really well. I just wanted to see if you were doing anything later tonight. We had like a morning date, and you know, there's always the night. Right. That's how you know that like that second date was really trash. Yeah, and the first date was actually really good. And like, look, man, there's nothing wrong with that. You only got so many days off in the week. I know. There's nothing wrong with trying to utilize your time effectively.
Squeeze them in, make them cheap.
People, for some reason, people feel like you're less bad if you like go to sleep in between dates. Yeah. I don't know.
Right. You're going to date two girls in the same weekend? Yeah. That's the only time I'm off.
Okay. That's my boss for the extra time off.
Yes,
I'm coming to the machine shop on Wednesday.
Nobody will be there. It'll just be me, I guess. It'll be fine.
She has to wear the eye protection and the gloves, but you know.
Just in case. But yeah, what about you, Sheep? You ever?
No, I barely have the energy to do any, like, two things at all in one day. Fucking.
What?
Like, if I have a date, then it's like I'm taking the morning off, taking the afternoon off too.
Have you ever had like a bad date, like a fucked up? This is fucked up.
None Well, I'm yes. I don't frequently date like in that way. Like I just don't connect people in that like kind of. I don't connect with people in that particular situation, right? Like it's. I don't know why I feel that this is the case, but like if you like couch something as going on like a date, I feel like there are certain
standards.
Yeah, certain standards, certain parameters that are set for the like
formalities.
Yeah, like I don't care about those. I don't know if it's because I'm trash at it or if I just don't care about it, but whatever it is, like
that's the thing.
I hate it.
What do you like, cuz what do you think a date is supposed to be? You know, by that definition, the parameters and the standards and whatever. What do you
think?
Like
what makes it a date as opposed to just hanging out? Just
hanging out with a person.
I feel like
you're trying to pay for her. No,
he's like, yeah, look, I ain't got no income right now. School,
fucking, can we do stuff that's free?
Right.
So I'm minimalist. Look, I'm just a minimalist guy.
Let's have a picnic on my dry off towel.
No, I feel like this isn't like 100% accurate, but I imagine like what is supposed to happen at the end of a date. Right. And for me, like, it's God, it's not binary in terms of like what is literally going to happen after a date. Mm-hmm. Right. But it's kind of like I often feel like the expectation is that what you're going to like walk away from it with, like you yourself, is going to be binary. Right. Mm. Like, you know, this isn't like super applicable, but you just described two dates.
Mm hmm.
One of which went very well, and one of which went like not so well.
Right.
Right. And obviously, like everything falls along that spectrum, but I feel like a date has a much more like narrowly defined description of what that like of what that situation is when you leave it, right?
Mm-hmm.
This wasn't a recent date, but, like, I'm thinking particularly, like, way back, I went on a date with somebody. It was a coffee date, and we spent, like, the majority of the time talking about, like, politics and specifically gun control, because she was, like,
you guys were disagreeing? Super into it.
We weren't necessarily disagreeing. Like, we did disagree, but it wasn't, like, it wasn't an argument. More it was just a discussion. Yeah. Fucking, like, and I walked out of that thinking this date was like, you know, I'm not gonna call her again. Mm-hmm. I didn't find her all that interesting. Like, but like, that's what I walked away from that date with, right? Mm-hmm. When I feel like if it was more of like a, I don't know, if it was just like a hangout, or if we were like somewhere first and decided to get coffee afterwards, like on the spot, mm-hmm. then I feel like I could have taken away a lot more, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. I do. It's like once you decide that it's a date, then you know for a fact you're having to get to know this person for a certain reason. So that takes away from the ability to let the situation develop the way that, like, naturally.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's an unnatural thing.
Yeah.
Like, you start to see the checkboxes.
Yeah, it's like you're forcing the fucking situation almost.
Yeah, it's like you're trying to grow a plant in, like, a pot, mm-hmm. as opposed to, like, letting a plant grow where it can literally, like, go wherever it wants right. to.
I see what you're saying. I don't know. I feel like I don't really have intentions for what I want the date to turn out as. I want to, like, and have fun getting to know a person. But the idea that, okay, this is a date. I like to set it up as a date just in case, you know, it turns into us, you know, fuck it. But so it's understood on what we're what we're aiming at here. Mm-hmm. You know, it's understood. Like, it, sometimes I've gone on a date before with a person and just got really cool. Like, it just, we just turned into really cool friends. You know, it's almost, it's like shooting for the stars and landing on the moon. You know.
What a poet.
Yeah, you know, it's like you want the stars, but you might get some, you might land on the moon and, you know, be friends with that person instead. Or you can miss all that shit entirely and just fall infinitely through space.
Suffocating to your mortal coil.
Which is what happened on my second date.
Hurling infinitely through space.
Yeah, it's crazy because I always end up talking about religion and those deep ass issues on a date. And the best thing is when that person is it agrees with you. Like, yeah, I feel the same exact way. Like, that's the best feeling about that. And it that wasn't the case on the second date because she started talking about it and I was like, oh no. I didn't really combat her because it was like she was way too dug in, you know, and I was like, I won't do any favors by bringing up my beliefs here. So I was just like, oh, okay, that's cool. Yeah, that's cool.
I think, like, I try to make a conscious effort not to bring up, like, politics or religion, not because I don't want to talk about them, because those are my two probably most important determinations for whether I can even be friends with someone. Mm-hmm. But, like, specifically because I don't want to, like, color them feeling free to, like, actually state what the fuck they think. And I have a very colored way of expressing my disbelief in certain religions. Mm-hmm. So, like, I don't want to be like, yeah, anyone who believes that is fucking stupid, and then have her feel some type of way and, like, hate me when she could have just said, yeah, you know, so I was raised Mormon, and then I would be like, okay, well, this isn't gonna work, and we don't need to be rude to each other.
So
about
you
it.
Hope for it to come out.
Yeah, like, I want her to feel like open and free enough to not feel like I'm judging her, just that I will judge her later. Yeah. No, yeah, and politics too. Like, if someone's a conservative, I'm not gonna fuck with them. Mm-hmm. I might buy car parts from you, and that's probably the extent of, like, the farthest I'll go is like, mm-hmm. a quick, like, hey, you home? I'm trying to swing up and grab that bumper, you know?
Right.
And that was hard. That was difficult. I was like, man, this guy supports Trump. Do I really want to be giving him my money? Like, I couldn't. If I go on a date, I just talk about other shit. Mm-hmm. And then when they bring it up, I just say, well, this has been a nice date, you know? I got stuff I got to do. And then I call the first girl back.
No, yeah,
how do you feel about Satan on a first date? Never goes well. No, even if, like, no matter what, even if they're not religious, they're like, well, you need to chill.
Yeah, you almost have to, like, let them know who you are first as a person before you introduce that, so they can be like, well, he's great. I don't really know about the Satan part, but we'll get through that.
Yeah, I just need disclaimers, you know?
Yeah, I've had several religious conversations over this past week for some reason. So you say you had something.
Oh, it was just an interesting story. It's one of those stories where a lot could have happened and nothing did. So I'm just gonna preface it with saying it's kind of anticlimactic, but I'm fucking sleeping. It's Friday night. Mm-hmm. I wasn't sleeping, actually. I was half awake in that period before bed where you just put your phone down and you're still, like, your mind is still just racing with all the shit you got to do tomorrow. Mm-hmm. But my eyes are starting to get heavy. I'm laying down. And I hear what I believe to be a hammer on glass. So, just, like, instantly, I'm up out of bed at the window. I get to the window, and as soon as my mind registers, like, my car's right there, no one's around it, boom. I'm like, oh, fuck, that's a gunshot. And it's, like, in the yard. That's my first, like, thought. Because it's, like, right fucking here. Like, right here. Tina wakes up. Like, I don't know when she woke up, but she's up now when I turn around after the second one. And as I turn around, five more. Bam, 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 bam. And it was like, oh, fuck. Like, it was so close that it was, like, actually jarring. Normally, you hear him, like, across the street, across the road, and you're like, you know, whatever. It's fucking... You think of everything besides the worst-case scenario.
Right.
The thing was, like, this must have been in the apartments, because it was... I swear to God, it sounded like someone was shooting in my fucking yard. And it was like, boom, 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 boom. Like, just, like, the rhythm is what got me. It fucking sounded like someone shooting. It was not a firework. It was not a car backfiring. There was no doubt in my mind. It was a fucking handgun being shot.
Jesus.
And it is right in my fucking yard, right? So my mind, what's interesting is, like, I've heard a lot of guns in my lifetime, and I've never really, like, thought of the sound as one that alone is that terrifying. It's loud, it's obnoxious, and then you think about, okay, what does that mean? And then, bro, this was my first time that I've ever felt, like, any sort of, like, danger or risk or anything like that, and had, like, someone else who was very clearly defenseless that I, like, actually needed to protect in this situation. And that,
yeah, turtle is a valuable
no
cat.
Literally, like, dog, I'm not even fucking around. I genuinely was like, okay, where the fuck, where's Tina? I turn around, she's awake. Where's my fucking cat? Like, okay, I get Tina and the cat. I'm like, go downstairs, go in the basement.
talking to a cat.
No, bro, seriously. Like, it's weird, because I wish I was like, you know, like, beforehand, you think you're going to, like, react a certain way.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know where those bullets are headed. I don't know where this person's headed after this. And immediately I start thinking, like, fuck, man. Like, if I were trying to make a run from the scene of a crime or anything like that,
this is a good
this
yard.
Is the yard. This is exactly where the fuck you would hide. There's 90 hiding spots in those cars over there. And just, like, I don't know, man. It was just so weird, because it was just so, like... like, primal.
Yeah.
So I fucking tell her, I get her downstairs to the basement, because I'm thinking, like, the walls are concrete, and if any, like, if anyone has to do any shooting from this point on, I want her to be out of it and right. downstairs. And then I just basically, like, start running through the, like, okay, keep your head down, stay away from the windows, I get my shit ready. I'm basically just waiting, like... don't choose my yard, man. Like,
yeah, please.
Choose anywhere but my yard. Please, God, please don't choose my yard. And I'm just sitting here thinking, like, when is the line? Like, if he's in my yard, I'm not going to shoot him. Why would I do that? He doesn't know whose yard or why or anything.
Mm-hmm.
But where is that line? Where is the line in my yard where I determine, like, fuck, he's coming for the house? Or the line in my yard where I determine, like, there's a chance of anything bad happening. And I just had to go through that. Like, in my mind, right?
Dude, just aim for the leg.
So, no, fucking...
thank you, President Biden.
Bro, so, what's weird is, like, I'm thinking, like, okay, 223, the guy's gotta be less than, like, 50 yards away. Less, probably under 20 by the time I see him, because there's a building right here.
Mm-hmm.
Even if I hit him, I have to think about what's on the other side of him. And the other side of them, maybe. Like, right. So I'm like, I'm just worried. I'm like, fuck, get my cat downstairs. Like, don't let her go. Like, hang on to her. And, you know, no one came. The cops came because 90 people called in gunshots, obviously, right. In an apartment complex. And my neighbor, the one who's got his trucks here, was like out there talking to the cops. Fucking, I talked to him after. He heard the same exact thing. It was definitely gunshots, blah, blah, blah. And that was that. Like, pretty much, you know, 45 minutes later, she came up, we went back to bed, and it was just really weird because it wasn't the... I almost wish I would have seen something so I would have known, oh, he's aimed in the other direction.
Yeah.
You know, it was just the idea of, like, fuck, my yard's the perfect hiding spot. Like, you can see the box trucks, you can see the bus, you know it's a big yard. It just looks like the perfect place to, like, hop a fence and fucking run in the garage or some dumb shit.
Bro, you could park those cars precariously in the yard and have a paintball arena.
That's true.
And you should make people pay to come play.
It was just, it was one of those things that, like, nothing happened, but just the...
That's how big his yard is what I was trying to say, and I wasn't derailing the conversation.
No, I did. Yeah, I agree. But, yeah, no, it was just weird because it was more of a... I didn't realize how much it would impact me to have her compared to, like, when it's just you by yourself. Normally, I would have at least went out to see... But I was like, I don't want to draw any attention to the house. I don't want to turn on any lights. I don't want to open any doors.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to fade into the background and hope he doesn't see this fucking house.
Right.
And it was just a weird thought. A weird, like, set of things to go through. And she was like severely shaken up by how close it was.
Was she awakened by the shots as well?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Like instantly. It was like that. Instantly, oh, yeah.
Wow.
Bro, I swear to God, it sounded like they were like in my fucking yard, like right here. So yeah, it was just interesting.
Yeah, I want someone to save during a robbery. God damn it. That's what I want in my life.
Get down.
Under the bed, honey, quick.
I'll
grab the golf club.
It does affect you more than you think to have anyone outside of yourself to even cursory think about. Even to just, like, even if it's like another full-grown, able-bodied person who can defend themselves, you still got to think of like, okay, well, what way do I need to make sure I'm not pointing this fucking stick of death to make sure I don't injure someone I care about in the process?
Right.
And like, it's just things you got to think about. And it was really interesting. So yeah, no, that just happened on Friday night. And I wanted to tell you about it yesterday because you came over and we watched a movie and everything. But that's part of why I wanted to watch a movie, because I knew if we sat and talked too long, I was like,
it just happened
like hours before. I wasn't really able to sleep very well that night because I was just up thinking of like, okay, what's my plan next time? Like, what's my plan? Yeah. How can I improve my plan? What did I do right? What did I do wrong? Just all those little things.
And then we literally watched a movie about an unaware home invader murdering all of the residents of a fucking house.
Jesus Christ.
Not literally, but...
Yeah, I mean, like, if you look at it in a very specific way.
Yeah, he broke into the house and then murdered the occupants because they were satanic.
Oh, no. Jeez.
Also, it was Nicolas Cage, and he had no speaking roles at all.
Zero lines.
Huh. How long was he in this movie? Was he the main character of the movie? No speaking lines.
Mm-hmm.
That's fire. Was it fire?
Nick Cage made it fire.
Yeah. Nick Cage and the fucking sound and
God.
And video director.
Yeah, whoever did the sound design, this movie, for those who don't know, is called Willy's Wonderland. Not to be confused with Willy Wonderland. That's a different movie.
I have that DVD.
Willy's Wonderland.
Who named it first? Who was first to this? Willy or Willy's?
Oh, Willy Wonderland is a porno.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, that's...
I'm in it.
Okay. Just tons of... I just see a woman walk, oh, my God!
Like skipping Wonderland. Through a field of dicks.
Everywhere.
They're like candy cane striped. Yeah. No, yeah, Willy's...
Gumdrop
Willy's
dicks.
Wonderland.
No.
Willy's Wonderland. Is a movie with Nicolas Cage. He is basically, you know, car breaks down. He ends up in a small town, and as a punishment for his sins, they lock him in an amusement park with haunted animatronic robots.
And he was fighting the animatronic.
He fights a robotic ostrich like 10 minutes in and whacks it in the neck.
Yeah,
and, with a broom. And I was like, I'm in.
Yeah, it sets it up like it's supposed to be like a horror movie, right? Like haunted fucking, you know, like child's like Chuck E. Cheese style like attraction place.
The cinematographer went hard, bro. Like just hard.
They knew it was up.
Oh,
they
knew
it was.
I feel like they were trying to make like the fucking sound designer and the cinematographer were trying to make like fucking Transformers. They were trying to make the biggest budget, just most overblown, fucking overhyped thing
for these animatronics.
And then they got the script and they were like, "Wait, Nicolas Cage does what? And he has how many lines? None? No lines in the whole movie? Okay, fuck." It's
no
pretty great.
No lines in the whole movie. I don't even understand.
And he is a terrible actor. So it is really hilarious to see him not able to use his fucking voice to communicate anything. Because his head motions and eye motions are hilarious. Mm. Just great. Wonderful.
I wonder what he said when they presented this with him. Presented this to them. To him.
This,
like, hey,
the
Nick,
budget was
Nick Cage,
like, what, 50 million?
5 million.
Jesus.
I thought it was five.
Five.
I thought it was 50 million.
That's
for
a very
reason.
Big difference.
I thought it was 50, but it was probably 5 million. And it all went to him.
Like, Nicolas Cage, here's a movie. Here's the idea. Like, you're in a haunted amusement park. Now, you don't have any lines. I'm taking it.
What? As an actor, wait, that is really like an
no,
easier.
No, I'm taking it.
You don't have to memorize any lines.
I'm like, you have to imagine, right?
What's the budget?
He's yeah. probably an actor because he likes it, right?
Yeah.
Because he enjoys it.
Yeah.
Because look, he just
you
loves
can't
it.
Say they didn't have fun making that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, like, they did.
He whacked Willy the Weasel.
Like, he reaches around this, like, chameleon, like, animatronic and just, like, breaks its neck and its head spins around.
He fucking curb stomps the one against the toilet he just cleaned. He's like cleaning the. That's half the movie. It's him cleaning.
Yeah.
Literally just scrubbing things. Like
so
half
his,
the movie.
So his punishment is he has to clean the amusement park.
Well, it's not a punishment, it's right?
It's like a job that he has to do to earn money to pay for his car repairs.
Yeah, oh, okay, it's okay, very clearly a trick to get him in there.
Oh, okay. So they want to sacrifice him to the
exactly.
animatronic gods.
Uh huh.
Yeah. Okay, I see.
And then he kills them all.
Oh, it's pretty great. And he's, like, supposed to be this, like, super badass. Like, there's unironically a line where this lady... Okay, so we gotta talk about this. Because this lady, I assumed when they first showed them and, like, they made eye contact and everything, mm-hmm. I assumed, like, oh, that must be, like, his long-lost daughter or something. Like, they must know each other somehow. No, it's his love interest. She's just, like, 40 years younger than him. It is terribly awkward. Like,
yeah.
It looks like you're watching fucking Selena Gomez in the fucking Wizards of Waverly Place or some shit. I don't know what show she was in, but
I think
you know,
that was it.
That's the one that came to mind, bro. It looks like a fucking Nickelodeon mixed with like fucking Nick Cage. I don't know. Like, it's gross. It's really wrong. Now that we've established that, so she unironically says like to the sheriff who rescues her from the animatronic hell, but leaves him
so
in
she
there.
She made it.
The sheriff knows what's going on, too.
Mm.
So the sheriff is like, you better get back in there. You know, sheriff's also a famous actress, but I can't remember what she's in. But so she's like, you better get back in there. And then the girl, the little girl, she's like, oh, you don't understand. You didn't lock him in there with them. You locked them in there with him. And he's like handcuffed, right? He fights two of them and then just breaks the handcuffs off.
It was a zip tie. This doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's heavily implied that he has superpowers because of the Coca-Cola or beer. I don't know what it was that he was drinking. They made it very vague, I think on purpose. He drank the beer. He fucked the pinball machine. He had superpowers.
You know, I was thinking about that scene as I was driving here.
They definitely intentionally made him fuck the pinball
machine. But like, here's the thing, right?
Everything that you say makes me more confused about this.
It
movie.
Was okay.
Here's the thing, right?
I do want to clarify. It wasn't a bad movie that like you watch because it's bad. It was actually interesting. It just was hilariously bad premise.
Right.
But the movie was interesting.
It was winkingly bad.
Yeah.
Like everybody was 100% aware of what exactly they were presenting. Right.
It was worth watching.
Yeah.
But you were saying?
I was just gonna say that like the more I think about that scene, the more like confused I am about it, right?
Because
like
pinball fucking?
About the pinball fucking, because like he doesn't literally fuck the pinball machine, but like they intercut it with scenes of this when that girl who's all like they're trapped in here with him, she like breaks in with a bunch of her friends, right, to like ostensibly try to save him, and those guys are the actual like horror movie victims, so like they get. Their necks broken and cut in half. Like
six teenagers.
Yeah, you gotta have six teenagers.
Yeah, and
two of them are horny.
Yeah, two of them disappear off into
a
dark room.
Was there a dog? Walking there?
No, but one of the animatronic things was kind of dog-shaped.
Okay.
It was a weasel.
Was there a black dude?
The black dude was... Actually, there were two of them, actually.
Okay, one of them survived, one of them didn't?
No. Neither of them survived.
Oh, yeah, no, they both died.
Yeah,
but
both
neither
died.
Of them died first.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They're starting to take that out of movies now. I appreciate that.
But yeah, like, two of them, including the last black man to survive, like, disappear off into another room and start fucking, right?
Mm.
And, like, they intercut the scenes of Nicolas Cage, like, playing the pinball machine and just, like, grunting incredibly, like, suggestively.
And the camera angle's, like, looking up at him.
Yeah.
And then they immediately cut to her riding this dude. half naked, grunting in the same way, camera angle looking. It was intentional as fuck.
Yeah, but it was also just like so bizarre because it's like, okay, wait a minute. Is Nicolas Cage getting fucked by the pinball machine? Is that the actual relationship here? Is the dude who's fucking his girlfriend like the pinball machine in some way? Like what?
Look, it's just a flow of energy, you know. It doesn't matter who's fucking who, man. I just think it's funny that Nicolas Cage showed up on set that day and looked at this pinball machine and the director was like, "Okay, I need you to fuck it. I need you to just sweaty. We're going to have you change shirts later. I need you to fuck it, man." And Nick Cage didn't have the image of her to, like, you know, like to even know what they were going to do with this. And he's like, fuck, man, the things we do for money.
I don't have lines. I guess
I'm going to put all my passion into this.
I'll put on your Samuel L. Jackson Black Snake Moan sweat t-shirt on.
That's how you know the sound designer got paid too much. Bro, this motherfucker changed his shirt like 7 times. Every time he would like whip off a shirt and put on a new one, they would be like,
"Oh shit!"
Like, fucking sound designer was like going hard.
I see
like,
what kind of movie this is now. Bro, also, shout out, Happy Black History Month to LL Cool J, the first black man to survive an entire horror film in Deep Blue Sea. He made it to the end. He was the one that got away from the sharks.
If you're listening, happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
It's not your birthday.
Happy Black History Month. It probably was close, Todd Smith. Thank you for all your contributions to hip-hop and cinema. Anyway. Anyway, yeah, that sounds like a movie I need to find and watch.
Yeah, it was worth watching. It wasn't long, and it wasn't boring. I don't like watching bad movies that are meant to be bad, because usually they are actually bad and hard to watch, and they suck. But I am I'm a new fan of giving a shitty story, like, a very serious treatment. Like, everyone decided, sat down before this movie was made and said, look, like, this is a stupid story, but we're going to make it. And we're going to mean it. And they did. And I appreciate that. The effort was palpable.
Yeah. That's good shit.
Bro, and the soundtrack went so fucking hard. They did not have to do this, bro. Willy's Wonderland song. I was like, it was fucking going hard, man. Willy the Weasel was, like, singing some shit about how, like, there's six chickens left and two roosters. I don't know, something like that. It was fire, though. It was so dope. Shit was dope.
Yeah. So my mom is coming.
You should watch Willy Wonderland with her.
I probably should, maybe. No, I'm not going to do that. But yeah, man, I'm excited for you to meet her, man. I'm excited for her to see all the shit that's been happening. Yeah, and interact with all the people. You know when your worlds collide? It's such a bizarre thing.
Yeah.
That's what's about to happen to me. My worlds are about to collide. My mom's about to come to a comedy show that I'm going to be on stage for.
You need to tell me so I just know walking into this. How tall is she?
She's like 5'5".
Okay.
Like 5'5", 5'6". Short lady.
I like to know.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to be like, oh, she's small.
Yeah.
Or like, oh my God, she's so tall. You know? Yeah. Just like to know.
She's tiny. She's a tiny lady. Full of energy. Very, she'll punch you right in the face.
I'm not gonna like that.
Not you. Like, yeah. So much energy. How you doing?
Nice form. Oh.
Thank you.
Really, you put your hips into it.
So
that was
you're
good.
My son's friend. Just starts having a regular conversation. Like, you didn't just punch me in the face. No, she's cool, man. I can't wait for you to meet her. You'll be there too. You'll meet her. That'd be great.
Yeah. Pretty much everyone's going to be there.
Yeah. Everyone's going to be there. This is an event that no one wants to miss.
Man, the event of the summer.
Fucking excited. I'm stoked.
In the winter.
I was nervous yesterday.
It's so good. It's the event of the summer.
Yeah.
Damn. It's so good, bro.
But yeah, I was nervous yesterday. I was like, in my feelings a little bit. Like, this is, it was, it's all, it's not like a nervous, like, I'm not ready. It was more like this is a big thing. Like, this is a big deal. This is a bigger deal than I'm thinking of it as. Like, when it comes to the possibilities, like, all these guys that are going to be on the show are guys that I fucking look up to, you know, and I look to for advice and guidance and stuff. And they're about to see how well I can put a show on. And to have 70 pre-sales before alone, not including like the people who, like a guy just texted me right now and said, I could buy tickets at the door, right? And he was like, yeah. So there's probably going to be people who buy tickets at the door. There's
people buy tickets at the door.
Dope. So all this shit is coming to a head, man. It's coming to a head. This is going to be the night. And I'm super excited. I'm super, now I'm excited. Last night it was just like, fuck, I've been working this hard and now I'm here. Is this going to go like I want it to go? You know, I had a dream last night about the show. And what happened in the dream was, it turned out to be a wise guy show that I was featured at, basically. So they were doing all kind of shit that I wasn't.
They're like a circus performer.
It was like bands, you know, and then they'll have different. We're just going to put this guy up. You know, he's coming to town. We just wanted to put him in. And then I got mad and went up and took the mic and they stopped the show and all this shit because I didn't do the right thing. You know, I didn't do what they wanted me to do. And I was like, nah, man. And I woke up and I said, oh, fuck. Not today. This is my show.
I actually like forgot about this, but it was like a week ago or something. I genuinely had actual nightmare where I like one of my videos just got so many dislikes and I woke up like, fuck, I need to go delete that video before it hurts my algorithm. Like literally, unironically. And then I said, you know what? I think I need to stop checking YouTube analytics. Yeah. I think I'm looking at them too much.
I think that's exactly what it is. I think
I felt so dumb the second I like realized it wasn't real. Yeah. You know? Yeah. You're like, oh, okay. I'm just that stressed. Okay.
That is so funny. I've never had a dream about my career.
And like cared when you woke up and were like, fuck, how do I prevent that from happening?
That shit ain't never happening to me. This is bullshit that just happened in my dream. Like, it's like when a woman wakes up because she had a dream you were cheating on her. She fucking hits you, fucking asshole. I felt like that about my dream. I want to call Keith and be like, listen, this shit is my show.
You better not have no goddamn tubas.
No, man.
Get your no bands. Tubas out of here.
Do not bring Robbie Brooks back. Y'all don't know him, but the comedians who are listening to my podcast will laugh at that. Robbie Brooks. Anyway. Yeah, man. I'm excited, bro. God damn it. There's so much to do. Shit, man.
Is that a short, albeit, but is that a podcast?
It might be.
It could be, yeah. I got shit to do. I got places to go. Y'all could talk for another hour if you want.
What were we talking about? We were talking about something good.
Oh,
like human living and like rooms that transport.
It wasn't a podcast.
It was just nerdy geek shit.
Basically. Here's a question for you. Okay. As a performer, when somebody whose opinion that matters to you comes to your show, right? Like, do you have, like, I don't want to say expectations, but like, do you want to know that they're coming? And does it matter to you if they like stay to talk to you afterwards?
It depends on what you mean by want to know their, like, want to know their opinion, or that I look up to, or
just anybody that you like or whose opinion about like anything matters to you, right?
I don't know. I don't think them coming to the show, if they say they're coming and they don't come, I may be a little disappointed, but you know, I don't really look at it like that. It's kind of like I go up, I put on the show. Especially like the show part. The show is separate from all that other shit. Afterwards, I love, like, one of my favorite parts of being a comic is afterwards and people coming, oh my God, you're so funny. Like, so if it was a person that whose opinion I valued, like, I would like to know what they thought, you know, for sure. It wouldn't make me think of them any different or look at them any different. But, I don't think that. That would bother me if they didn't come up to me after the show or whatever, but I would like them to. Yeah, for sure. I want to know what it is.
It just occurred to me that, like, I do this all the fucking time, but, like, when Nihonjin had performances at, like, the U, like, I would go, I wouldn't tell that I was going, and then like I would leave before the end of the show and I wouldn't like stay and talk to her, and like she wasn't like offended or anything. She was like, "Oh, why didn't you say something?" And yeah, then like I just did the same thing to fucking Sydney, who's also in the parkour group. I watched her online performance, but I didn't let her know that I was watching it, and like I didn't even say that I had watched it until she was like, "You guys gonna watch it?" And I was like, "Already did."
I think I would be not offended, because that's like such a heavy word for miffed or whatever, that, you know, like whatever.
Disappointed.
The like, not even that is like, I'm not angry, I'm disappointed. No. I would just think about it. If like, because, and the reason is like, knowing that people I care about are supporting me beforehand does help me like feel better about doing this thing. Mm-hmm. So I like to know beforehand if anyone is coming, you know, like, because otherwise I just am the type who like, bro, I don't count my chickens until they're literally done being cooked on my plate and fucking ready to be eaten. So, like, I want to know you're coming 2 weeks before so I don't have to worry about it. Mm-hmm. Tell me you're coming. And then if you do come, I actually really appreciate, like, the talking afterwards. Because I feel like, yeah, that is your moment where you feel, like, super good. You just did this super cool thing and, like, everyone saw it and you feel really proud of yourself. And to me, it's like, I want to be there with people I like. You know, like if you were here and you saw my show, like, come say hi. This is my good moment. This is my good, you know. To me, it's like, I like when my friends do that. And if you leave early, I'm going to assume my show was trash and you didn't want to stay very long. Because that's my insecure, you know, artist self coming out to play. Like, oh, it wasn't funny enough to see if there was an encore?
Okay. Yeah. No, there's going to be a lot of people at this show whose opinions I value.
Yeah. Like, and obviously, they don't have to wait in line, but if they do want to, that would be nice to talk to you after the show.
That's the thing. Like, it's going to be a lot of people who's going to, like, I'm, bro. There's going to be a lot of females there. A lot of women. Beautiful. And I'm going to want to talk to some of them after the show. But also, you know, you got Lance probably going to want to talk to me. You got fucking, Adam, which is the guy who started that Observable Universe platform. Mm-hmm. Oh, the party. The Observable Universe party.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So that turned out to be a guy's birthday party named Adam. He was also launching a new a streaming platform called the Observable Universe for local people to put their movies and shit on there. Yeah. So it was fire. It's a fire idea, I think, for what it is, you know. Mm-hmm. And he did it at an art gallery at Trolley Square.
Nice.
So it was super grown up. You know, this is a very, like, you know, people drinking wine. They got a coffee guy there. And he was like, "Hey, can I get a cup of coffee?" "Sure, man, yeah. Fucking make the cup of coffee. It takes him 20 minutes. Like, it was.
He calls a guy like, "Hey, we need the cocoa.
Right.
Can you bring the cocoa?" "Yeah, just hop on a plane. I don't care."
Then there was a guy there who was selling his barbecue sauce. He made some barbecue sauce that he was selling. And it was fucking delicious, you know.
Did you pick some up for your OnlyFans? Or?
I didn't. That's next. That's next. The dick dipping continues.
Dick dipping dose. The redo.
But yeah, no, it was kind of fire. I went there. I was there for like an hour or so. I didn't know anybody. I got there late. Like, they started at noon. I got there at like 3 or 4. You know, so it was like dying down, you know. So it was kind of awkward. I was just kind of there. I had some coffee, and I told a couple people about the show. Some of the most influential people, like Adam, who was parties it was, and then the owner of the gallery. He does comedy shows at the gallery, and he's had like Rennie, one of the guys who's like popular on YouTube and stuff. Have you heard of him? Mm-hmm. I don't know. He does a lot of those. Vine. He was popular on Vine. He got on Vine really early. And now he's millions of followers and all this shit. He had him. He had some other lady. And they do comedy in there. It's crazy. So I told him about my show. He said he was coming. So it's going to be like people like that there. The lady from the fucking magazine is going to be there. She's probably invited some people on her team. We got the photographer. Like, it's going to be people there who I want to impress. basically.
Right.
So, and afterward, I would love to hear what they have to say about it. I'll probably open it up to like, hey, message me, DM me after this, so you, and tell me what you thought of the show, you know, stuff like that. So I want to make sure I can, you know, talk to everybody, because I do want to know what they thought. That is important to me a little bit. But if they don't tell me, I'm not miffed. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah. Guys, I got to get out of here. My mom's here. So I got to go collect her from the airport. So this has been an episode, man. This is a shorty. I think it was packed full. This is a nice full hour.
Yep.
And, you know, we've done a good job here.
And this one will take me a lot less time to edit than the 3-hour escapades we normally
have. Yeah, for sure. All right, guys. Thanks for listening.
All right. Fucking message me or whatever. We'll figure it out.
All right, bro.
I got this. This has been a podcast. Thank you for listening to The Downstairs.
Peace.